Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, at the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, and as he has said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Matthew's resurrection text here sets up kind of an interesting contrast between the women who went there that day and the guards who were there that day. Both groups gather at Jesus' tomb. Both see an angel of the Lord. Both feel fear. Both leave the tomb to tell others what has happened. And both are told by others what they should say. And these two groups show up, and they show us the two responses that we have to Jesus and to the resurrection. What separates the two groups here is faith on one hand and unbelief on the other. For the women, their fear dwells within faith. For the guards, their fear dwells within unbelief. The guards had the freedom to tell the truth, but instead the guards shook and became like dead men. They were sent there to guard the tomb of Jesus who died on a cross, but how quickly the tables turn. Jesus was raised from the dead, and the guards are now the ones who are dead in their unbelief. Still enslaved to the powers of this world, the guards are told to propagate a lie that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. And out of fear and out of unbelief, they do just that. The women's expectations are really undone, but their expectations are undone in faith. They arrive at the tomb expecting the tomb to be closed, but instead it is open. They expect to discover Jesus, but they discover an angel instead. They leave quickly to tell others, to tell the disciples what has happened, but they are confronted on the road with the first encounter of the resurrected Jesus. Now, when someone dies, there's this brief period of time, perhaps maybe a few weeks, when you can feel that person's presence. I've experienced that in my life. Some of you may have experienced that. Some have actually seen loved ones. I haven't experienced that, but I have no doubt that people have experienced such things. Matthew wants his readers to get the fact that this isn't an encounter with a departed spirit. He tells us that Jesus met the women and said, "Greetings," and they looked at him and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. So Matthew wants the readers to understand that this isn't the appearance of a ghost. The resurrection of Jesus is something completely unique and something completely different. Matthew notes that there was an earthquake that took place. And the resurrection of Jesus shook the world to the very foundations. And the word earthquake doesn't show up all that often really in the Bible, 13 times that my Bible, digital Bible told me on a search, 13 of those in the Bible. Two of those are here in Matthew. Five are in the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible. So in a way, I think this resurrection gives us a preview of the end that we see there in the book of Revelation. The crucifixion and the resurrection are actual events that took place in history, and those events mean something. If the resurrection did not happen, then nothing has changed. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." The Apostle Paul tells us that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we might as well go home and do something else today. But Paul does say, in fact, that Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have died. So Paul tells us essentially that the resurrection of Jesus, we do get a glimpse of the end, which is really no end at all. The goal of human life is not death. The goal of human life is resurrection. Paul closes chapter 15. He says, "When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled, 'Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the question we're confronted here with today is, what difference does the resurrection actually make in our lives? One can look at the resurrection as kind of a metaphorical type sense. We can look at times in our lives when, for whatever reason, we go through a rough patch and things are not going well, but then we come out the other side of that, and we look at that, and in a sense, it feels like a resurrection. We go through a dark point in our lives, we come out the other side of that, and we do feel resurrected. So in that sense, that is true. But if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, those experiences of resurrection that we go through in life would all be for naught, because in the end, death would have the final word. But death does not have the final word. God has the final word, and his final word is resurrection. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And life is not some series of meaningless random events that end up in the abyss of death. The world is going somewhere. Things that go on in this world matter. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. The power of the gospel is not simply a story, but it is the reality of God brought about by the resurrection of Jesus. The women encountered the risen Lord, and the fear that they had in faith was turned into joy in the faith. And Paul says, "The risen Lord appeared to Cephas, he appeared to then to the 12, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. He appeared to James, and then to the other apostles. And he says, last of all, he appeared to me." The risen Lord is in fact seated at the right hand of God, yet he is with us until the end of the age. And through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit, God is in the process of bringing heaven and earth back together And in the book of Revelation, where most of those earthquakes in the Bible take place, we see in the end that heaven and earth are brought back together. In Revelation chapter 21, it says, "And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. The first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end.'" God has given this world a great gift. He died for our sins, and he was raised from the dead in order that we might have eternal life. And like the two groups in the gospel text here from Matthew today, we have a choice to make. We can choose faith, or we can choose unbelief. One concrete reality of the resurrection is that we have the freedom to tell the truth to the world about what God has done in Jesus Christ. There are many people in the world who, in their unbelief, want to tell an alternate story. As we have seen in the Gospels, those alternate stories have been around since the very first Easter, some 2,000 years ago. There are those that claim that their story is true, or that all stories are equally true, or that no one has a lock on the truth. But that is not true. Jesus has a lock on the truth because he is the truth, and he is the way, and he is the life. While there are many in this world who want to continue to cling to the falsehood out of unbelief, there are many, 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 many more in this world who desire to hear and to know the truth about this world and about God. Another reality of the resurrection is that we are called to proclaim this truth as disciples of Jesus Christ. In the final verse of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Therefore, beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is not in vain." Christ is calling his church to be the people of the resurrection. We already experience the power of the resurrection. And as people of the resurrection, we are to proclaim the good news that people do not have to be held in bondage by the powers of this world. We have freedom in Christ because there was a real event that took place some 2,000 years ago. And the world cannot undo that event. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.